play a clip from CNN, just in the interest of a little positivity. Here was a report that actually did quote the director of the Health Development Information and Policy Institute of Ramallah, Mustafa Barghouti, speaking about the roots of this crisis and putting it pretty clearly. Take a look.
The world press community or media community is overwhelmed with the Israeli narrative, which is incorrect. The Israeli spokesperson have been spreading lies all over. The reality and the truth is that the side that broke this truce and this ceasefire was Israel. 2 months before it ended, Israel started attacking Rafah, started attacking Khan Yunis, and never lifted the blockade on Gaza. Gaza remained without fuel, without electricity, without bread, without medications, without any medical equipment for people who were dying in Gaza. 262 people died, sick people, because of an access to medical care. So Israel broke the ceasefire.
I mean, I did get the impression, watching the first few days of the coverage, that maybe the bosses were away and some of the mice were playing a little bit. You saw some people quoted. I haven't seen much quoted since. Andrew, do you want to come in on?
Yeah, I mean, there's a huge disparity in terms of the selection of who you use for talking heads. I mean, the ratio of Israeli government officials that are used for sound bites versus Palestinian officials is just disproportionate. It's like, I don't know, it's 10-to-1 ratio. In terms of video, in terms of actually seeing what the damage is, you know, then there isn't that disparity. The video is actually speaking a lot louder than the soundbites are.
Let me come to you, Ali, and maybe we can get each of us to weigh in on this, and then we'll push to a related topic of the economy. Ali, it does seem to me that if in this country we understood economic, cultural, and social rights, as well as we understand kind of human rights, insofar as we understand those, we might have understood better the urgency of the crisis being created by the economic blockade in Gaza. And we might understand better some of the support that goes from Gazans to Hamas, and not just Gazans either. How can we, you know, change this such that we send off our alarm signals earlier, not when the bombs are falling, but when people are starving?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just like one journalist to ask Israel what blocking chemotherapy drugs to Gaza has to do with self-defense or fighting terrorism. I mean, are they afraid of terrorist cancer patients? The scale of what Israel has done and the negligence of the media, who keep berating themselves over missing the story in Iraq, and they do it over and over again. I mean, I've lost a lot of hope in the big media. I think it is moving towards smaller, independent media. I mean, we tried to do it on the Electronic Intifada. You can go there now and read first-hand reports from independent reporters in Gaza telling you what's happening in a way that you're not going to get from watching 100 hours of the network.
We're certainly with
That's
you on that, Ali, here at Grit TV. But, Danny, I wanted to just
quickly. We've certainly been covering it on mediachannel.org as well in my blog, newsdissector.com. But the key question here is, who is actually mounting a major propaganda operation? And that is the government of Israel. They organized a directorate 6 months ago to coordinate their own messages. They did training of all of their government officials. Their spokespeople are all, you know, sort of bright and up to date on their political line. Americans can't get access to alternative views unless, for example, you go to livestation.com. You can watch Al Jazeera, but for the most part, it's not been available, not been allowed to be available on most American cable outlets. So we are, in fact, the victims of a blockade as well, an information blockade, which leads to this distorted coverage. And that's a problem that we have to start addressing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a problem Palestinians have to address, too, how to mount a more sophisticated information campaign.
Eleanor, I'm sure you've thought about this. What role does racism play in this, in our listening to people from Israel, our listening to people from Arab countries? I mean, we have problems with Jews and Muslims in this country when it comes to stereotyping and racist attitudes.
And it's something that we have done for a very long time with the stereotyping, but at the same time, with American media, we've always done a better job in covering the Israeli side. And the Palestinian side has always been something that's really gone to the wayside. And we do not use enough of the voices that are out there. And at the same time, a lot of the media, I still, in some ways, you know, you're right. By not sending the anchors, people see it as not as serious. I mean, they're sending Joe the plumber.
saving that, but you're absolutely right. Horrific news, or, you know, horribly predictable news that a right-wing media outlet is sending Joe the plumber to be their correspondent from Israel.
I mean, what does that say?
Let me go back to you, Danny. You covered South Africa for years, at South Africa Now. The treatment of Palestinians in the occupied territories in Israel has been compared to apartheid, was very recently compared to apartheid by the President of the General Assembly of the United Nations. What shifted things in the South African coverage?
I think it was a media war as well as a political, a guerrilla war. And that media war was a war both of images and information to try to challenge the narrative of the United States, of the South African government, to legitimize Nelson Mandela, the ANC struggle in South Africa, the struggle of the people there. That played a very big role, you know, in helping to establish this issue and to build support in the United States for Mandela. When he was coming to America, I was part of a group that went to one of the most prominent cable networks. I won't name it for now. You know, saying, look, Nelson Mandela is coming. This is going to be a major event. And they say, well, diplomats come here every day. I wouldn't expect that the turnout, will be very big. And, of course, it turned out to be, 2 million people in New York and people across the country. So the media itself is among the most reactionary institutions in our society, undermining our democracy and undermining an informed public. And that's what we have to fight about and against. That's why I would say Grit TV is part of that struggle, in a way, to try to get the other viewpoint and other viewpoints out there.
Well, there are some bright spots. Joe the Plumber is not one of them. He is going to be going to cover the situation in Israel for the conservative website pjtv.com. I don't recommend you check it out. There is, though, John Stewart to fall back on. John ran this piece about one-sided Gaza coverage earlier this week on Comedy Channel.
Come on, can't someone phrase this in a way that will really bring it home?
Let me just phrase it for you, something that'll bring it home. If you're in your apartment and somebody, emotionally disturbed person, is banging on the door screaming, I'm going to come through this door and kill you, do you want us to respond with one police officer, which is proportional, or with all the resources at our command?
I guess it depends if I force that guy to live in my hallway and make him go through checkpoints every time he has to take. But then again, by removing him by force, as long as you really believe that there'll be no more crazy people left in New York, okay.
Take that, Mayor Bloomberg. That was Jon Stewart on Comedy Central.